Okay, well, today, tonight, we have Cindy M., and she's going to speak on acceptance. And thank you, Cindy, for coming.
Thank you, Brandy. I just signed up for this morning. So I prayed about it and said, okay, God, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but maybe you can give me some insight. And right away, I just, you know, came into my mind acceptance. And so let's just pray and bring God here. So God, we just come before you and we thank you that you do answer when we ask, and that you have us in your hands so well that we can let go of fear and trust in you. And I just thank you for this time, and I pray that maybe this will be useful for someone. Amen. So I turned to page 416 in the book. You've all heard about page 416. And I, as I read it, I down toward the bottom of the page where it says, it helped me a great deal to become convinced that alcoholism was a disease, not a moral issue. And for me, it helps me a great deal to be convinced that chaos creating, fixing and controlling is a sickness, not a moral issue. That I had been doing this as a result of a compulsion, even though I had not been aware of the compulsion at the time. And that sobriety, any kind of sobriety, was not a matter of willpower. I couldn't tell myself that saying the next thing that I shouldn't say because I don't have any willpower to not say it, that isn't the problem. It isn't willpower. It's, I always think what I'm going to say is going to be helpful, but truly, a lot of the things I need to accept are things that, for instance, you know, that my husband is who he is, that the circumstances in our lives are what they are, that that I am a child of a narcissist, that I developed things that were helpful to me in childhood but are no longer. And these are not a matter of willpower. They come down to what I believe, what I've been taught, what I have clung to my whole life because of what I learned. And then it goes on and says, the people of AA had something that looked much better than what I had, but I was afraid to let go of what I had in order to try something new. And then it says there was a certain sense of security in the familiar. And, you know, that doesn't just apply to alcohol or to substance. It absolutely applies to trying to take care of myself by defending myself, by making sure everybody understands me that, you know, I'm not a bad person. I need to show you I'm a good person. You know, I am, you're misunderstanding me. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm just trying to find out what's true. I'm just trying to protect me, you know, and when he says, but I was afraid to let go of what I had in order to try something new, that is definitely part of my dilemma, because this little girl inside still thinks that what she learned is going to still work and keep me safe. And that's absolutely not true. It's not going to keep me safe. It's going to keep me isolated. It's going to keep me, you know, being getting abandoned. It's going to keep me in that chaos mind and that depression. And, you know, if you read the spiritual maladies, you know, it's going to keep me there if I keep practicing it. So here you go. At last, acceptance proved to be the key to my thinking problem. After I had been around OA, AA, and Al-Anon for 7 months, actually for 10 years, tapering off alcohol and pills, and for me, tapering off fixing and controlling, not successfully, not finding the program working very well, I was finally able to say, okay, God, it is true that I, of all people, strange as it may seem, even with my Christianity and my Bible study and my Al-Anon meetings and my trying to work the steps, and I, of all people, didn't even give my permission, really, I am an alcoholic of sorts. And now, knowing that I'm an adult child of an alcoholic, knowing that I'm an adult child of a narcissist, knowing that I have this addiction to adrenaline, that I'm hypervigilant to make sure I'm understood, make sure that I don't do anything wrong. And now that I know what this is, it's okay with me that I have it. Of course, I would rather not have it, but at least I can say, okay, I have this, and now I also have the solution. So then it says, now what am I going to do about it? Well, when I stopped living in the problem and began living in the answer, the problem went away. And I didn't know what that meant. I was like, well, how do you live in the answer if you don't know what the answer is? And it seemed like I didn't know what the answer was. I was living in the problem. Any problem I could make bigger. And from that moment on, I can't say I have not had a single compulsion to think obsessively, but it's definitely better. And here's the cue, the answer. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I'm disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. And before I go on to the next statement, I want to make it clear that acceptance to me means that I accept that I have a higher power who really has me right in his hands, right? However, you know, you picture it. But I'm right here right now with my higher power, and I don't have to take things into my own hands and do it my way, the controlling, fixing, zealous, you know, be right, everything like that. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And until I could accept my ism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. And I can't even control changing my own attitudes. I can put myself in God's hands and say, okay, I really need your help. I don't know what to do. Or I can do a meditation and say, okay, help me to just be. I'm in your hands. Let me just be. And then the next line, Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. He forgot to mention that I was the chief critic. I was always able to see the flaw in every person, every situation. And I was always glad to point it out. Because I knew you wanted perfection just as I did. AA, BBA, and acceptance have taught me that there is a little bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us. And we are all children of God, and we have a right to be here. So when I complain about me or about you, I'm complaining about God's handiwork. And I'm saying that I know better than God. And I am here today to tell you, I do not know better than God. And you know, I put myself in his hands, and I can see, especially I can see when anybody else is doing it, when their fear rises up and they take things into their own hands and they think, okay, well, I've got to do this. I can see it now. And I'm starting to be able to see it in me when I go there and think, okay. And I can tell you too, a wonderful thing that I'm not obsessing all the time, which is amazing. I mean, I was, you know, I thought that being obsessive in thinking was being very conscientious. And I found out that that's not what it is. And so now with all of your help, I mean, I have had all of your help. I'm starting to see, you know, that I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. And I don't have to convince you guys that I'm an okay person. I don't have to convince my husband. I don't have to convince the world. And as soon as I can accept that, then I can love myself like I'm loved instead of beating the crap out of myself all the time. But acceptance is what I need to do to get there. Just accept that I'm a human being and it's all okay. So I think that's all I have. So thank you for listening, and thank you, God, for giving me something to say.